531.
Iono Professor Alec Ekeroma has been a leader in Pacific people's health for more than 20 years and has been active in the development of medical services in primary health care for Pacific women. Professor Ekeroma played a leading role in initiating the Pacific Society for Reproductive Health, a not-for-profit organization founded in 2001, of which he is the current CEO. He has been a member of the Royal Australian New Zealand College of Obstetrics and Gynecology since 2002, including as chairman of the New Zealand branch from 2006 to 2007. Professor Ekeroma has supported hundreds of medical students and trainees in obstetrics and gynecology since 1998. Iono Professor Alec Ekeroma joins us on the line now, all the way from Samoa, where he is now the Vice Chancellor of the National University of Samoa. Talofa lava, Iono, and thank you so much for joining us.
Talofa ite and talofa to all your listeners. It's good to be on.
Tell us, please, Professor Ekeroma, what does this recognition mean for you to be made a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit?
It's humbling, and I'm say that really that it's a recognition really of the hard work that's been put in by teams over the years. Now, even though I may have been a leader of the various teams, but nonetheless, without good team members, leaders can't really do much. So I was fortunate to be working with people that were talented, that were unselfish with their time. This is a fantastic recognition of all that work that so many have actually put in over the years. But it's humbling and at the same time.
Professor, could you take yourself back to growing up in Samoa as a young man? Did you ever imagine yourself in the position that you are now?
I think the short answer is no. I didn't even imagine. I mean, I thought I would wanted to be a doctor. That was the first thing I wanted to be. But I never in my wildest imagination I would actually end up as a specialist and working in New Zealand. And then rising through the academic ranks through the University of Auckland and then through the University of Otago, giving me the opportunities to actually serve and lead the many projects that I was involved with, both in New Zealand and in the Pacific. So the opportunities that came to me because of my various roles, both as a specialist but also as an academic, were invaluable for that service to occur. So the opportunities came because of the roles that I was in, and I fully utilize the opportunities to serve others. Because as you know, we serve in order to lead, and then when there's an opportunity there as a leader, you turn around and actually help those who are climbing up the ladder and also share the blessings that have been given you.
Samoan parents, they dream of their children becoming doctors, becoming lawyers. You have achieved that dream. How do you think your parents would respond to a recognition like this?
I think my mother would have been extremely proud, because she's passed now, but she would have been extremely proud of my achievements. My father will be equally proud as well, but he has the habit of, hiding that very well and in a Samoan sense, and managed to come up with some deprecating remark, like, so who did you bribe to get this result, this award? I can imagine him actually saying that. But at the same time, you would have been extremely proud.
Who are some of the people, because you are a pioneer in the sense that you have decided, and obviously your love and your respect for your mum has led you into the space of primary healthcare for Pacific women. But who are some of the people early on in your career who sort of showed you this path that you have followed, in medicine at least?
I think the role models that that I had were the leaders, the Pacific Island leaders that were there at the time, and also some of the Maori leaders as well, because they actually opened the doors for us, Pacific people. So, you know, I can remember back in my days at National Women's Hospital, Professor Colin Mantell, who was is Maori, and he was the head of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology. He was in Apeland. And then going through, there were fantastic leaders in the community. We're working in primary care, like, for example, Cyril Fortai and Debbie Ryan. Those are some of the people that were working there in that space. And then moving across to Otago, there was Tai Sopo'anga. You know, those people were sort of supporters, role models, all rolled into one that enabled my service to the Pacific community. But there were many other Pacific Balang people who were also very supportive of Pacific dreams and Pacific aspirations. Like, for example, my friend Professor Andrew Hill in South Auckland, he was supportive of me doing a PhD and enabling my academic career to flourish again. So there's a lot of enabling people out there. And of course, you mentioned also New Tango, Professor Peter Crampton, for example, was very inspirational as well. During my journey, so there's pioneers out there who have actually shaped my journey and helped in the path that I took.
Now you are Vice Chancellor of the National University of Samoa. You've been in the role for since the beginning of the year. How is that for you now?
This role is challenging. It's you know, slightly different from the medical role that I was in, and also the roles that I had before coming here was research-led. But here, of course, is a lot of admin, a lot of management. But you know, it's a nice challenge, and there's many opportunities to actually improve the tertiary education sector in Samoa. There's a lot of young lives in Samoa, and I could actually see myself in some of these young kids who are coming through, and they have dreams and aspirations, and they will want to be in my shoes in the next few years. And it's nice to actually help them to actually achieve those aspirations. And so we're working on many fronts. So there's the students, of course, who are, you know, high achievers, and they will, you know, no doubt find scholarships to New Zealand and Australia and study out there. We're hoping, of course, that they will come back and, you know, and help the country. Then there's the ones that are not academically challenged. And those are the ones, really, that we're trying to help into the trade. To make sure that they learn skills like in plumbing and welding and carpentry, like in plumbing and welding and carpentry, because those are very important for their future, for the future of the country. And also, they may find jobs in also countries overseas should they want to migrate. And it would be good for them to bring those skills across. So, I think any educator is always on the lookout for ways to actually bring the students up to a level where they can actually thrive and contribute back to, you know, to society, to the economy, once they've actually chosen their fields of expertise and work.
As you've already mentioned, the fact that you are there, a Samoan, born Samoan, now Vice Chancellor of the National University of Samoa, it is a wonderful example and a pathway that many of our students that are now at National University of Samoa can follow. Could you summarize for us your opening speech and remarks to those students as you tried to inspire them to be the best that they can be for students who might be listening now in New Zealand and throughout the Pacific, please, Professor Ekeroma?
Thank you, Ete. I think it's important for the students actually to understand that they have a purpose, and their parents believe that they have a purpose, and for them to actually, you know, they may not identify their true purpose right now, but it's a matter really of going to look out. They will have aspirations and dreams, of course, of where they want to be in the next 5 or 10 or 20 years, and it's important really for them to work hard, because that's a ticket out, isn't it? It's a ticket to a better world and to a better future. It's through education. And when I say education, it doesn't mean, you know, PhD or master's degrees. It may mean any qualification really that will better one's future and one's family's future. So, you know, I had to rethink it, because in New Zealand, in our university there, we were looking at degree courses. But here in Samoa, we're also looking at TVET courses. These are trade and vocation education type training. So those who are not academically minded, they need to work very hard identifying what their gifts and their talents are, and then work hard at it. I think the opportunities for funding and scholarships will come when the funders can see that you're working very, very hard, you're getting good marks, and if you don't have the funding will come your way. So the main thing here is for our students to strive hard at whatever they want to be in life and to succeed in it. They don't have to be engineers or doctors. They can be anything they want to be.
I honour Professor Alec Ekeroma, member of New Zealand Order of Merit, recognised in this year's Queen's Birthday Honours List. Thank you so much for your time. Congratulations again, and we look forward to speaking with you again in the not too distant future.
Whakatai, Ete, and for the opportunity to speak to your listeners this morning and to share with them. And I'm appealing really, it's the last opportunity here, appealing really to our diaspora, our Samoan diaspora in New Zealand, Australia, wherever they're listening from. There are opportunities to give back to the community, to the country here, should you wish to do so. And it's a matter of just getting in contact with us.
Thank you very much, Whawhetai Telelava, and all the best.
Thank you, Whawhetai.